I love the people in the sound booth because I give them titles to my messages. And that right there is a testimony to how bad my writing is. Because I wrote to the betrothed, be ready. And they wrote, be truthful, be ready, because that was their interpretation of my writing in tongues. Love you guys. Amen. Amen. Matthew 24. We are the betrothed of Jesus Christ. This is an amazing, crazy love story. If you've never really understood that what Jesus did when he came on the cross and he died for our sins wasn't just to demonstrate grace or demonstrate his power to forgive. It was all of that, but it was much more than that. He's not just saving us because we needed saved. He died, he saved, he shed his blood, he did all that to bring to himself, to present to himself a glorious bride, to be his counterpart for all eternity. And the betrothed of God are those who look forward to the great marriage supper, knowing that we have something in front of us, that all of creation is looking for that day. And the betrothed, oh, how we need to be ready. Matthew 24, and again toward the end of Jesus' earthly ministry here, and he's preaching and he's these different illustrations of being ready and the urgency of this. It goes on in chapter 25 as well, but in verse 36 of 24 it says, but of that day, the hour and hour no one knows. And by the way, it means that not even Jesus knows. There's coming a day when God is going to say to his son, go get your bride. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I pray, God, that you'd open up your word to us today. Oh, God, speak to our hearts. Ignite in us the energy, the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak your word alive to us. Sanctify us, even Jesus, as you have already prayed. Sanctify your church, God, by your word and by your truth. Sanctify our hearts. Cleanse us. Make us right with you, God, by your powerful word today. Help us, your betrothed, Abba Father. Help us, your betrothed to Jesus, bride, to be ready. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The day is coming. Oh, my. I don't know. It's just been an unusual number of memorial services for me lately. Reminders. One of my classmates not too long ago, I had to go do his, different people. I don't know, I've been having these continual reminders that even if we're not talking about the rapture, and people argue back and forth about that, you know what? Our life is so sudden. There's a day coming very soon when I'm in the presence of unspeakable holiness. I'm going to be with my Jesus. And what he's referring to here, I actually believe is probably the rapture. The day's coming when we are going to be with him. Amen? But in the meantime, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and saying, have an urgency about that and be ready, because as of the days of Noah, verse 37, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Goes on to say, then two men shall be in the field, one will be taken and another left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and another left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. This picture that Jesus draws from is from ancient history. And let's go to Genesis chapter 6. By the way, it's such a sacred thing that we have the Bible, and it's an amazingly preserved thing for us. The study itself of the preservation of God's Word, it should stun your heart, encourage you to do that sometime. But we have this ancient text. Let's go back to it. Genesis chapter 6. This that Jesus is referring to, the time of Noah. Verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth has fallen into an unbelievable fallen state. Sin just abounds in the heart of God as he's looking on this. God always knows not just sin, but he knows the wages of it. He knows the destruction of it. He knows the brokenness of it. And it says in verse 6 that the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. And then verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He goes on to talk about the genealogy of Noah, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I want you to keep that in the context of your mind. So there's this, God is looking on the earth, and it is so fallen, and it's so fallen. There's so much sin, and he knows that it's just sin that keeps perpetuating, and that the whole earth has become this place of just fallenness, and he's wanting to destroy them. But then he looks upon Noah, and he sees this man who had found favor in his eyes, this preacher of righteousness. And so he approaches Noah, and chapter 7, then the Lord said to Noah, come unto the ark, and you and all your household. So he approaches him, he gives him the directions, in chapter 6. And then at the end of this time, as verse 22 of chapter, Noah did according to all that God had commanded him to do. So he did. So he builds the ark. And then chapter 7, verse 1, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. And so Noah enters the ark, and I just want to cut to this one phrase here. Verse 16, so those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the Lord, who shut the door? God did. Boom. God shut the door. But I want you to think about this. Noah was a boat builder at a time when there'd never been a boat. He was a preacher of righteousness. And I want you to think about this. There's that debate over how long it took him to build the ark. Christian circles tend to argue a lot about things, so it's really not that important. But the arguments go anywhere from, most people believe 120 years. Some people argue that it could be as short as 55 years. That's a long time to build a boat. And to preach a message that God's judgment is coming. He was a preacher of righteousness. He talked about the holiness of God. He talked about what holy behavior. Righteousness is really right behavior before a holy God that pleases God. It's real and right, and it's what is holy before God. And he was a preacher of righteousness. And so 50 to 120 years, let's just grab whatever number you want, totally free to do that. Can you imagine every day building on that boat and preaching righteousness to a fallen generation? And telling people that the floods are coming. By the way, this is a crazy scene, but when I think of the flood, I think of eastern Montana. I think of crawling around in the sagebrush, peeking up over ravines, looking for deer, and looking down and seeing mammoth shells in the ground. It's one of the coolest places just to crawl around in the seabed of the old flood. There's so much evidence around us of a cataclysmic flood. It did happen. The rains did come. And Jesus said, let's go back to Matthew 24, just as surely as that came, he's going to come. And I want to share a story with you today, because the same Jesus that's speaking to us, let's go to Matthew 24, is the same Jesus that saw that happen all those years ago. I want you to think about that. The same Jesus saw God shut the door after Noah had entered the flood. This reminded me, I don't know why my mind flashed back, and I'm going to tell you that this is way back. While my wife and I were going to the Highway Baptist Church in Victor, which is no longer in Victor, and there was a guy named Preacher Bear. Preacher Bear was a visiting kind of evangelist sort of fella. He was quite the dude. Very large man, monster of a man. And he used to do things like this. He would ask us to bring rocks from the river bottom, kind of those rounded rocks that you use for stonework sometimes. And he would take them to the front, and he would put them up front on kind of a pedestal thing he had, and he would take his hands and he would break those things in half. I was impressed. I was like, holy cow. I'd ask other people to try it for me just to see what happened. But anyway, I would never do that. He also had a daughter who was kind of petite and small, and she was a third degree black belt. And she was quite accomplished. And so he and her would go into places like the mall, and he would attack her, and she would proceed to throw him around, and there would be this big thing, and she would beat him to a pulp, and then he would stand up and preach to anybody that stopped to watch the show. The guy was a crazy man. He was a guy from he had gotten saved out of the logging camps of Oregon, and fairly late in life, but he was a tough dude. But I remember him preaching this message, and this reminded me of that. The title of the message was Honeymoon in Hell. And what he did is he went back to Noah's time, and he told a story. And the Lord took me to that message, and it was about 35-ish years ago. And I was out in my shop, and I was remembering it. And then I sat down in my office this week, and I wrote my own version of this story called Honeymoon in Hell. And there's a reason, by the way, that we're doing this. Because this that happened in Noah's time happened to real people with real faces on it. To real people. And the Jesus that's speaking to the disciples there is the Jesus that's speaking to us today. And Jesus was there. He was there. And it was his spirit that's crying out through Noah, come, come. Escape the judgment to come. He was there. So just, I want you to, by the way, I'm going to use some names in this because I have a hard time sharing the story without a name. And so I chose a good little Jewish name, like this boy that we're starting out with this story. His name is Yusel. So other than the name, it might not be right. I want you to know that it's a true story. And so I want you to hear this. I haven't done this in years, but I want you to hear this. Let me begin this story by introducing you to a young boy. Just a wee little guy. His name, good Jewish name, his name is Yusel. He was a tiny lad when he first met Noah. See, Yusel's family lived just on the outside of town in a small farm right next to Noah, the local crazy man. Every day, Yusel toddled over to Noah's place, and Noah found him quite entertaining, and he even carved for Yusel a little wooden hammer. Noah loved Yusel's visits. He looked forward to the lad. Noah would give him little chores to do, and Yusel loved being there. He loved the smell of the gopher wood and the sounds of the saw and the hammer. And every day, Noah worked on that strange thing that he called an ark. And every day, Noah would pause in his work to preach to all who would gather to look at this strange, ugly box. And many came because it was the talk of the town. But then he would begin to preach righteousness and the judgment of God, and every day it was the same. Every day it was the same. They would shake their heads and mock him and walk away. And every day, with a sad heart, Noah would return to his work. Many of them began to just call him the crazy man on the hill, building the giant box. The old man was nice to Yusel, and as Yusel grew, Noah taught him how to fashion the wood and to make the joints. As time went by, the little lad became a young man, and little by little, his life got busy. He spent less and less time with the crazy man. But with all he had learned from Noah, the young man pursued his trade, He was a carpenter and a very good one. He got busier and busier. And every day as he left for work, he used to wave at his old friend, and Noah would wave back. And more time went by. And as usual, grew up, a strange thing began to happen. He began to find himself avoiding Noah more and more. The rantings of his crazy neighbor embarrassed him. All this talk of judgment and a flood and wrath, it had alienated all the people in the village, and it seemed that Noah was just getting worse. And his giant ark, well, it just hung over the village like a giant eyesore. Its shadow hung across Usel's house. He grew to hate that shadow. It made him feel scared, creepy. Started to avoid Noah. He started to leave out the backside of his house. He started to avoid him. Well, then something happened to Usel. Something he hadn't seen coming. You see, there was this young lady in town. He met her at the marketplace, and she was so beautiful. He didn't think anything like this could ever happen to him. He was blown off his feet. He was crazy about her, and, well, long story short, he proposed to her, and miracle of miracles, she said yes. Usel was getting married. And then one evening, as he and his betrothed were putting together a list of those special guests they would invite to their marriage feast, his betrothed asked Usel, what about Noah? You told me you spent every day over there as a child. Shouldn't you invite him? Usel thought about it, about the crazy old man, and he remembered all those times as a lad, and he looked at his beloved, and he said, you know, you're right. I'm going to go to him personally and invite him to come. So the next day, Usel walked that old path that he hadn't been on in so long, and he walked up, and he pounded on Noah's door. When he did, he walked under the shadow of that giant ark. And again, he felt fear grip his heart. Noah answered the door. He swung the door open. He said, Usel, my son, it's so good to see you. You're all grown up. Oh, what a sight for an old man's eyes. Come in, come in. It's so good to see you, Usel. I've prayed for you every day. How have you been? Would you like some tea? No, but thanks, Noah. I came to bring you good news. Noah, I'm getting married. I've come to invite you. I want you, Noah, to be my special guest. The wedding is next week. Noah looked at Usel, and there were tears in his eyes. Oh, Usel, it's good news, this marriage. It's a capstone of God's creation, but my dear son, the holy God has pressed me so. The hour is upon us, Usel. We've just hours left, perhaps even, not even days, but just hours. The flood is coming. Very soon, the wrath of God will be released, and the flood's going to come. My son, hear my invitation. Please hear me now. Be saved from the wrath to come. No one will escape, none. Bring your betrothed, bring your bride. Come into the ark. The hour is upon us. Usel stood up. Noah, all those memories, all those hours I spent over here with you, I'm so thankful, Noah, but even in my childhood, every day you would go into these rants. You'd be so strange. Noah, could you quit the crazy for just for my wedding? Could you just be normal for once? And Noah stood and extended his arms. Usel, hear me. Please hear me. Even today, this morning, God asked me to gather my family and enter the ark. With his arms outstretched, he said, this is the day of salvation. Usel, it's today. Come. Come, you sow yourself before it's too late. Bring your bride. Bring your bride. Yusel ran out the door. He ran through the dark shadow of that great ark, and Noah stood with empty arms and a broken heart. The next few days passed quickly for Yusel, except for when he was still. When he tried to sleep, the words of the old lunatic kept ringing in his ears, "Today is the day of salvation." Those words kept ringing and stealing his sleep and his peace. Strangely enough, right next door to his house, the place that ever since he'd been born had been ringing with the sounds of hammer and saw, were strangely silent. For as long as Yusel could remember, every day that sound had continued, but now it was silent. There wasn't even the old man's preaching. Then late one evening, as Yusel lay trying to sleep, he heard a noise. And he rose and went to his window, and he watched by moonlight as the great ramp was being lowered from the side of the ark, and it rested on the ground. And then Yusel saw the weirdest sight he had ever seen. Two by two they came, male and female, every living creature, every beast and every bird, and every creeping thing. Two by two they came walking and slithering and crawling up the ramp, quietly entering the ark. They came drawn by some magic, and Yusel pinched himself. Am I dreaming this? What magic is this? And he watched in wonder. And then as quickly as it began, it was over, and the ramp began to lift. There were no ropes and no pulleys and no cords. It just lifted from the ground. Slowly and steadily, it lifted. And it was then that Yusel knew it wasn't just a ramp, it was a door. A giant, great, thick door. As he watched by moonlight, this door lifted by an unseen hand until without clasp, without bar, without chain, it closed and it shut completely. A chill ran down Yusel's spine. The words of the lunatic, "Today is the day of salvation," came ringing into his soul. He looked at that giant shut door. And as he was staring at that door, he heard a sound. A sound that was begging for his attention. It was the sound of trumpets. The sound of trumpets. It was for him. The trumpets were for him. Finally, it was his wedding party. Finally, it was here. His wedding had come, and the trumpet was his. It was time for Yusel to go get his bride. Once again, Yusel ran. He ran away from that shutting door. He ran away from that creepy ark. And he ran, oh, how he ran. He ran to his own marriage feast. Late into the night, the feast went. And then late that night, the moment his heart had so ached for, he stood before God, his pride, his bride in all her beauty, standing before him. All the traditions in the ceremony were a blur to him. And then the moment before Jehovah God, when Yusel said to his bride, "I do." And then she said to him, "I do." And the rabbi stood and proclaimed with a loud voice, "I now pronounce you husband and wife in the name." And a tear fell on Yusel's cheek. And embarrassed and startled, he quickly wiped it away. And then another one fell, and another one. He looked at his bride, and she had tears falling on her cheek. The crowd began to murmur, and someone shouted, "What, it's water from heaven. Is God showering his blessing on the new couple? What a miracle!" And then the ground began to shake. Lanterns crashed to the ground, the hoopah collapsed, and the crowd knocked down. They were screaming and groaning, and some people were cursing. And the drops of rain quickly became a torrential downpour. Deep in Yusel's heart, the words came back to him. All those words, all those years, all those warnings. As surely as those words came back in a flood, he knew this was the flood. This was the flood. Oh, he grabbed his beloved bride and he screamed above the roar, "Run, follow me, we gotta run." And they started running. And once again, Yusel ran. He ran and he ran and he ran. The ground was bucking. Things were flying apart. What was newly formed mud, they fell and they were pitched around, but they kept running and running and running. They ran through the village and up the hill. They ran to the ark. And Yusel waded up to that ark waist deep. He beat on the side of that door and he screamed, "Noah, it's me, Yusel. Open the door." "It's me. I've brought my bride. We've come. Noah, open the door." And the lightning struck and the rains kept pouring and the water rose, and with a sudden lurch, the ark floated free. And Yusel and his beloved bride spent their honeymoon in hell. It's a true story, absolutely. We might not know the names, but it says up until that moment, Jesus, who saw it, said what? They were what? They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage until what? The door was what? Shut. And every day, the preacher of righteousness was there. And Jesus had watched it all. He said, "So will the Son of Man be when he comes back." And the broken heart of God, who watched, who kept extending grace, who kept saying, "Here, come to me." He's still today saying, "Here, come to me." The one who always makes a way of escape. It's amazing how God gets indicted by our sin. People say, "Oh, how could God do?" No, no. How could God even want to make a way for such sinners to come to himself? But he always makes a way. Who are we to indict God for judging? I mean, think about it. The wages of sin is what? And when he looks on a world that is full of sin, he knows the wages of our sin is death. He knows that if we continue in sin, it'll just be more death and more death and more death. And by the mercies of God, he looked down and said, "No more, no more. This has got to stop. Repent. Come to me." And yet none turned. The same one who watched it all then is watching it all today, and the same one knows the power of sin and the power of destruction, and he says, "Turn to me before it's too late." He sent Noah to preach, and he sent Noah to build an ark. I thought about Noah this week, and I thought, you know, sometimes I feel sorry for myself, you need to know, because sometimes my heart breaks so much because of so many people who've tasted of the heavenly gift, as the scripture says, and turned back. I'm like, "Oh God, it's such a burden," because you see these faces, you know these people, and you know what they're choosing. And hell and eternity are real, and it's a really long, 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 long time to be wrong. And your heart breaks for them. And then I think of Noah, who preached his whole life. And all he had was his sons in there, his daughters-in-law, and that's it. Not a brother, not a sister, not a neighbor, not a Yusel, not one. As the days of Noah, turn back to Matthew 24 if you're still there. As the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the man, Son of Man. They did not know until when? It was too late. They did not know until it was too late. But they know now. They know now. See, Yusuf and his bride have spent an eternity in a Christless hell. They haven't seen each other since the day of the flood. Because the scripture says that when they entered into that, they entered into outer darkness. There's no even seeing anybody else. You're cast into outer darkness. It's a place that God built for the judgment of rebellious angels. I wrote this earlier this morning. Right now, Yusuf and his bride are spending their honeymoon in hell. They haven't seen each other since the day when the flood came. Indeed, they haven't seen anything. Yusuf died knowing the truth. And every day in hell and every moment, he wishes he had entered that door to eternal life. Over and over, he sees the image of the great door open. Over and over, he hears the words of the preacher of righteousness saying, "Repent, come, come now." Every day, every moment, forever. He knows that God in his mercy had made a way for him, but Yusuf had chosen to ignore it. He had a life to live and stuff to do. God had sent to him a preacher of righteousness right next to him. God had made a way. He had built an ark. And yet forever and forever, he's in an endless death, knowing that he is forever wrong. And I want to share with you, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, what if God would grant this young Jewish man who's spending his honeymoon in hell and will never be able to, what if he were to grant him 5 minutes of reprieve from that, and he would stand here today for that 5 minutes? What do you think he would do? I don't think he'd waste a second of it. I think he would preach to you, and there would be fire in his preaching, and he would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." There is a way in which we can be reconciled to God. There's a way in which we must come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, because hell is real and eternity is forever, and there's no hope where I came from and no hope where I'm going. But I also think he would speak to the church, and he would say, "Preach the word and build an ark," because that's what we have to do. You see, Noah's day was Noah's day. This is our day. There are people in our neighborhood. We each have our people that God has called us to reach. And even if God only gives you the people under your own roof, you're only, how much of a lineage? I mean, we wouldn't be here except for him, right? So even if he only gives you the people under your own roof, that's enough. Preach the word and build an ark. The bride of Christ needs to live for the kingdom of God. Even if all the world around you is mocking you for standing for righteousness, even if all the world around you is not listening, even if you're branded as a lunatic, the truth is the truth, right? We need to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. We've got to build an ark because it's real. This is our calling. If Yusuf could stand here, he would tell you that. From Genesis to Revelation, the message is the same. Do you realize this? One of the last verses in the Bible is Genesis, Revelation 22:17. It says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.'" And then he says, "Come." And he says, "Come." I'm going to have the worship team come. We're going to sing that song, because the Spirit and the bride say, "Come. Come to me." Today is the day of salvation. It's the foolishness of preaching, the scripture says, that God uses to save souls. Those that were branded fools were those that preached. Those that were branded fools were those that listened. And I was a fool. I remember when I first became a fool in 1979. I first heard and received the truth. Today is the day of salvation. If God has made a way, God has made a way. Every day, by the way, I pray, and almost every one of those days, I pray, God, just send us sinners. Don't send us the righteous. Don't send us those who think they already know everything about you. Don't send us the religious Jesus people. God, just send us sinners. Because Jesus, you said you didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to call sinners because sinners know they need what? They need a Savior. They know they need a way of escape. They know they need saved. They know they need to be made right before God. They know they need an ark. And Jesus came, the wise master builder said, the one who's called the wise master builder said before he left, he said, I will build my what? I will build my church. You know what the church is? It's meant to be an ark. It's meant to be a place where people can come and meet Christ and a place where they can find what it is and where it is and how it is they get delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of God. Jesus is building his church, and I'm so blessed to be a part of it. But I want to tell you today that if you know that you're a sinner and you know that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the bankrupt, that scripture means. Blessed are those who have come to the end of all their own means of trying to get right with God. Blessed are those who know they need a Savior, for theirs is the kingdom. If you know you're a sinner and you know you need Jesus, I want you to run to him. Today is the day of salvation. I need you to understand this. The door will not always be open for us. He doesn't owe us another invitation. But oh, how God longs for every sinner to come to him and be made right. He longs for you to do that. Father, I thank you for your word today. And God, I thank you for this gathering of sinners. And God, I just pray, God, that if there's any that have not yet been reconciled to you, that even though these are the days of Noah repeated, that these could also be the days of Joshua. God, you can bring a revival, and you can bring many people, sinners from every warp and woof of life, sinners of every kind, flavor, and color. You can bring them to yourself. And God, I pray that we would be that generation that would all leave everything behind and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. I need a Savior. And I need to walk with a holy God. And I need to be taken out of this world, and I need to be brought into the presence of my Lord, and I need to be saved. And God, I pray today, if there's any here, oh God, by the foolishness of your preaching, as the scripture says, they would turn their back on a world without you, and they would find you. God, you'd save souls. And God, I pray for your church, that we would know that as Noah had his day, we have ours. You didn't waste a single saint. Every one of us has a holy calling to be a preacher of righteousness and to build an ark. God, you see the faces of those that are lost. You've even seen their eternity. You've even tasted their death. And God, today I pray we would have the urgency of a Savior who's been in their hell to preach and to build an ark. To invite the lost in. And even if they brand us as the lunatics, they would still know where they need to turn when the floods come. Thank you, Jesus, for our holy calling. Thank you, Jesus. And God, now as we sing this song, I pray if there's anybody here that needs to come to you, that they would kick the enemy in the teeth, they would put aside their own flesh, they would get up, and they would move forward with Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, and your will would prevail. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.